Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm your host, Pastor David Ambrose Shaw of Monument of Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. I'm truly honored to be live before you on this evening with a powerful reading coming out of the book written by Bishop T.D. Jakes called Destiny in the Name of Jesus. But before I go further, I truly first and foremost want to acknowledge my God in the name of Jesus for being the head of my life. I also would like to acknowledge my wife, Lady Diane Shaw, and our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout, out of Atlanta, Georgia. We truly appreciate the support of all those that are listening by way of Twitter, Skype, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, and YouTube, and even those that are listening in on the chat line. God bless you, and Jesus be with you. Also, those who have ventured eventually into the archives to hear the recording on today, we thank God for you as well, for we are recorded as well live in the name of Jesus. But again, we come forth to read to you out of the book of Destiny, chapter 5, in the name of Jesus. And before we go further, as always, we want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you on this evening, God, we come once again humbling ourselves before you to acknowledge you for being the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and the Master of this universe. Father God, we thank you truly for all of what you've done and what you're doing, and all of what you've done that has yet come to pass. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory for just who you are and all of what you've done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come now to chapter 5, praise God, in the book of Destiny. And before we go even further than that, we will first want to acknowledge, praise God, that we do our readings out of the Book of Destiny every Tuesday and Thursday, and every Wednesday and Friday we come with a teaching on the Godhead. Praise God. We come with a continued series teaching on the Godhead. We also here at Pastor Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends come forth with the morning prayer. We have a community prayer that comes forth every Monday through Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific time to 7:30 a.m., 8 o'clock a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Mountain time, 9 o'clock a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, midway through the scripture, says that man ought to always pray and not faint. If you'd like to join us in our corporate prayer in the morning, feel free to call us at 774-220-4000. Again, that's 774-220-4000. Follow the prompt and then type in 70050#. Again, type the number in 774-220-4000. When it's asked you to enter your code, the code is 70050#. And you can come in and share in our corporate and community prayer. We're praying for everyone. We're praying for the community. We're praying for our country. We're praying for relationships, marriages, children, healing, just whatever God places in our heart to do. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we do that for half an hour every day. We also are continuing on Pastor Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw on YouTube, where we continue to read the book of Revelation from Genesis to Revelation. We continuing to do that Monday through Friday as well. And you can join us, or actually you can follow us on YouTube, where we have read the books of Genesis and Exodus. We currently are on Leviticus, and we will begin Numbers next week. So join us, actually, possibly this week we will begin the Numbers, praise God, because we are only a few chapters away from the completion of the book of Leviticus. So join us, because Lady Diane Shaw and myself are actively involved 100% in the ministry, and we're constantly doing something for the upkeep of God's kingdom. In the name of Jesus, there's a work is plentiful and the laborers are few, but we are diligently laboring in the vineyard, in Jesus' name, to do what God's called for us to do. We truly want to acknowledge those that have leaned into us continuously. That's the Deacon Eddie. We thank God for him joining us. We thank God for, in the morning time prayer, Sister Jeannie. We thank God for her. We thank God in the name of Jesus for those that have been continuously supporting our ministry at Monument of Hope and Deliverance, Brother Reggie, who's diligently been coming to our services, as well as Sister Deborah, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for supporting us, because it's not just for us, but it's for yourself as well, and we thank God for that. And now, without any further ado, we'd like to continue forth with the reading from the Book of Destiny, where it says, Destiny, Step Into Your Purpose, by Bishop T.D. Jakes, a truly highly inspirational, motivational, and very blessed spiritual book that he's written here. Very influential. And up to this point, we've read some very positive chapters in the name of Jesus. And on today, we're reading chapter 5, where the title is Focus. Decide and step toward what's worth your time and energy. Let us begin. You are not what you do, arriving at destiny involves separating yourself from your gift. Many times people confuse who you are with what you do, differentiating between who you are and what you do is critical for your well-being. As I've traveled the inner circles with highly visible people and gotten to know them personally, I have often found that the individual is totally different from what is broadcast on TV. Favorite comedian may not be nearly as jovial off stage as when the cameras are rolling. They are giving their gift and talent to the audience, but that is not an indication of who they are in their daily lives or who they may be feeling and how they may be feeling. In the same way, you can use your gift, but that doesn't mean you are the gift. Many are drawn to what you know or some gift you have and will be totally obvious to the person you are. You don't have to be famous or on television to understand the distinction. Your gifts make room for you. If you're a very gifted person, people will seek you out. They will call upon you constantly to share your gifts for one purpose or another. There's a wonderful promise in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16, that says your gifts will make room for you and propel you to higher places. It is a beautiful unfolding as your gifts open doors for you to run a corporation, play basketball, write, paint, remodel, practice medicine, teach, cook, or nurture. Whatever you're gifted to do. When you are really good at your gift and work to hone your skills, people will constantly request your services. Being sought after can make you feel loved and admired. It can make you feel worthy. But don't confuse the gift with you. People see me preach on television every week and feel they know me. One lady ran up to me one day while I was out shopping and said, "I know who you are." I asked. She smiled wryly and replied, "You're the guy on Oprah." To someone else, I am the pastor of a mega church. To others, I am a movie producer, a philanthropist, a businessman. I learned to be careful not to allow how others define me to become how I see myself. Myself and my service are not the same thing. They know Bishop T.D. Jakes. They don't know Thomas Dexter Jakes, the man. I don't get it twisted, and neither should you. Just because people love your gift doesn't mean they love you. Most of them will never really know you. Most of them don't care about you. They just want your gift. And it's okay to share your gift. It's a good thing to serve your gift occasions when both your service and yourself agree with you are fully invested in that area. For example, I have invested myself in Potter's House, not only my gift. That is a place to which God called me, and I'm all in. I have learned that I am most powerful and effective when I am fully invested. On the journey to destiny, be aware you may share your gift and not share you. Make that distinction so people who constantly want something from you will not drain you. People can drain you by continuously asking you to give and to give and to give, perhaps without the slightest concern for the personal toll it takes on you. Be prepared to set boundaries on how far, how much, and how long you are going to pour into others. You may think, as I did, "Oh, I have to do it. They love me." But actually, they love your gift and how that gift serves their purposes. The gift doesn't shine if the giver is exhausted. Decide to step into your destiny and determine not only where you would share your gifts, but also where you are going to be all in, investing yourself in your service. If you spend yourself and your services where your service alone would be enough, you are not as energized to perform on the level you need to move closer into destiny. You will have wasted the grace you have been given on assignments and that aren't in alignment with where you are destined to go. I learned that in order to move the Richter scale of your success toward destiny, you have to be fully invested, and you can't be fully invested in everything and everyone you meet. There's simply not enough of you to go around. destiny always pays its bills. There are seasons in life when, in order to reach destiny, you may have to devote or donate both your service and yourself. When those seasons arrive, be sure that it is a step on the road to destiny, because ultimately, destiny will always pay its bills. It will always pay you back. I remember how my mother helped me as a young man by books and ministry materials, in classes and courses, preaching, teaching, and being taught. One of the more relative chess, my mother, for helping me, she said, "Don't spend all your money backing that boy." I'm sure my aunt meant well and was only trying to protect my mother. Didn't understand that destiny always pays its bills. Understand the value of your effort and be fully prepared to sow before you harvest, give before you receive. Give the seed of your time, your energy, and even yourself. But do not try to grow a garden on concrete. Destiny always pays you back. Don't ever deal that's offered to you, quest from you, and every need that comes across your desk may not be a seed planted in the garden of destiny. Instead, many are thrust upon the cold concrete and endless demands from people who only take. Decide how and where to invest in you. There are times when you should do something for nothing. Yes, by all means, be generous, but be smart. Balance the call to give with the understanding that the gifts of God has given you are worth something. Pay your dues on the way to destiny, but somewhere along the way, destiny begins to pay you back dividends. That's why you should have to determine who and what deserves you. With every opportunity, gauge how you can maximize your exposure, temptation to sing at a benefit concert should be the gig that puts you before the record label executive or an artist recruitment scout. Writing free for a local paper should help you accumulate some byline to build a portfolio to get paying assignments. Please share your gifts because you believe people will love you for it. Your gifts are worthy of recognition, worthy of remuneration, worthy of advancement. Remember, the consumer never sets the price on a product. I'm not talking about giving up personal fulfillment and purpose, pull on you over and over again, suck up your time and energy, and do not give you room to grow. Just because you share yourself in the same place seamlessly doesn't mean it's a dead end. If preparing income tax forms for a beloved nonprofit organization is a fulfillment of destiny, by all means, do that until you drop. If volunteering your services to the children's hospital is how you choose to give back, that's great too. Be generous until your generosity comes at the expense of your destiny. Remember, destiny always pays its bills, gives you returns. Destiny is worth fighting for. The things that are most important in life often do not come without challenge or struggle. Nobody likes to lose, but that doesn't mean every conflict or struggle you encounter in life is worth the fight. When we see something slipping away from our grasp, our instinct is to go into fight mode and protect and preserve us. A threat to our career means fight. A threat to our home means fight. A threat to our marriage or our health means it's time to fight. The willingness and readiness to fight off a threat is a healthy threat, but some situations simply are not worth a fight. Sometimes a pink slip on a job is the best thing that could happen to boost your career advancement in another setting. Rejection from a lover may pull the plug on a relationship that's been on life support for too many years. The reposition of the car you couldn't afford, the repossession, may be your ticket to economic freedom and redemption. At first, these kinds of situations can stir you into fight mode, but fight for something that is inconsequential in the grand scheme of your destiny can hold you back from attaining what you really desire. On a deeper spiritual level, survival may actually mean letting go of what's been holding you back. Very often, knowing whether it's time to fight or let go is a matter of putting your ego in check and out of the way. Let's say you find out a guy named Rick is pursuing your girlfriend, the woman you've given 400 different excuses as to why you are not ready to marry. But now that another man is trying to move in on your relationship, you're ready to fight. Maybe Rick is the best thing for you and your girlfriend and for your girlfriend. Maybe Rick wants to marry her and give her the kind of relationship she desires. Maybe it's time for you to get your ego out of the way and move on to your destiny. Have you ever made embroiled in a fight and later realized that it's all about ego? How dare you terminate me? Why is he to break up with me? Why they can't talk to me like that and get away with it? Ego fights are often ugly, vicious, and unreasonable. But when you fight for the true cause, like your destiny, reasonable, a sound decision because it is really about you. It's about your call to serve humanity. Conversely, when your fight is about ego, you can make all kinds of stupid, irrational decisions because the ego tells you that the only thing that's important is you. Sometimes we fight the wrong battles because of displaced anger. You can't fight with your boss at work, so you come home and fight with your spouse or your children. Get out on your church members and fight about meaningless, trivial matters. You can't fight the health condition or the financial downturn, so you fight with the salespersons who won't argue back. Some fights you get stuck up and sucked up into are really other people's struggles. People who are afraid of fighting themselves can be masters at manipulating others into fighting for them. Before you get ready to do battle, make sure you're fighting your own battles for your own meaningful Time is a precious commodity, and it must be used carefully and judiciously. Your time is worth everything. Time is your greatest weapon. So choose the situations and circumstances that are worth fighting for. Don't waste your time fighting meaningless battles. Meaningless combat won't help your future. Invest your time where it matters, on the way to death battles to fight. Know that what you're fighting for is worth it. Your children, your marriage, your career are always worth fighting for. But even then, you may come to a point when you have to give up and actively fight and just let God fight the battle for you. Focus will sustain your passion. The walk toward destiny is a trek. Every day is not exciting, even when you are doing what you love. Working towards your destiny is a daily endeavor, but every moment will not be filled with thrills or even challenge. Some days are just clocking hours of work. But when you know who you're working and you're sacrificing, why, or why you're delaying gratification, you can sustain your passion for where you are going, especially when your goal seems lodged in the atmosphere you will never reach. Destiny is a long-distance race where endurance is the key to winning. On the journey, we get weak in body and in mind sometimes. We get sick and tired. We get sick and tired of being sick and tired. We grow weary from the tiredness that often is not physical. Sometimes we get emotionally, mentally, and spiritually weary. Circumstances we thought would have been resolved years before may continue to haunt us. Sometimes we feel like we don't have anything else to give, even to destiny. We've given all that we have, and we're ourselves. What more do our children want? What more does our spouse want from me? What more does my employer expect of me? Meanwhile, life goes on, leaving us feeling both overwhelmed and underwhelmed. Overwhelmed with mounting pressures because life and livelihood have to be maintained. Underwhelmed because nothing seems to be changing from the better. Destiny is a distant place that seems unreachable. It takes determination to continue operating on the day-to-day while keeping a healthy focus on destiny. Help yourself to develop connections with people who are already at the near the place you want to be. Learn from them. Being around them can help you stay focused on why you're making sacrifices and enduring struggles. People who love what they do and are successful at it tend to enjoy establishing relationships with serious mentees. They love to share stories of their setbacks and successes, the trials and triumphs. They want to encourage a protege to keep better at gifts. Mentors can often advise you regarding actions that may not be a productive payoff. They may be able to help you recognize the dead-end employment situation or tell when it's time to let the business relationship go. Sometimes the best hello to the new opportunity is the goodbye you gave to the dead situation. will return after this to read more of the book called Destiny by Bishop T.D. Jakes. We shall return after this.
Check it out, y'all. I'm tired and I want to give up. Why is the world getting so crazy? Come too far to die now. If you're a survivor, get up. Let's get it.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the name of Jesus. Again, I am your host, Pastor David Shaw of Monumental Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. We are continuing forth with the reading of the Book of Destiny, written by Bishop T.D. Jakes. You win if you don't quit. I learned that quitters don't win when I faced formidable circumstances and complex dilemmas. More than a few times, I felt my faith give way and my heart become faint. I remember trying to get a loan for a piece of property for our church in West Virginia. It seemed that every turn I ran into an obstacle. I had applied at different banks. Some said no, others said required 40% down, a no because I didn't have it. I carried the cross of their rejection silently. I didn't want the church to know that our dream is my nightmare. I reasoned the church could stay where it was even though the space was too small. I sometimes wondered if it would be better to go let the pain of wanting to settle for a calm, mediocre, every rejection, my position would revitalize and I would try again. Whether I was secretly misophaic or had faith, I wasn't sure. I was not certain I had the right approach or the right business acumen. Pain of the process ultimately empowered me to acquire the property. Yes, I did it. The loan, I did get the loan and we purchased the building. But the greater gift was the experience. I learned to preserve even in the tempestuous orious agonizing becoming stage. The West African Ashanti people say, if you understand the beginning well, the end will not trouble you. When you are sure that you are aimed toward destiny, you will not worry about the end. Instead, dig in your heels and hold on for the ride with all of its heights and lows, adamantly. Though times, tough times can make you make and want to run for the nearest exit. Keep in mind that those who figure out how to slide their way past difficulties do not meet their God-appointed destiny. Destiny belongs to those who demand it by their faithful and dogging determination to hang in there until they achieve what they desire. Tyler Perry, famed playwright, director, actor, and producer, made his own way to Hollywood filmmaking, and circumstances have caused many to give up. During the early years of positioning himself toward destiny, the road was neither smooth nor accommodating to this young black man from New Orleans, 7th Ward. In his toughest times, Tyler fought for fights that were both pursuing and let go of the fights that were counterproductive to destiny. Starting at age 22, Tyler wrote, directed, and produced many stage plays that were financed with his personal savings. For more performances than he could count, only a handful of people showed up. This went on for years. He continued to save and invest his own money to produce the plays, but nothing seemed to take off. Even when the cast performed, to the nearly empty house, Tyler never let go of his dream. He battled all obstacles to produce another play, even when no one had come to the previous one. Later, after some success with his plays, he stayed in the fight with Hollywood executives told him, ridiculously, they couldn't back his movie because black people don't go to the movies. He held on and refused to let go of his dream to write, direct, and produce plays and movies. As Tyler fought for his place among filmmakers, he chose to let go of the fights that were counterproductive to destiny. He could have spent his life fighting a father who ridiculed him. He could have engaged in a lifelong emotional battle against the people who sexually abused him. Instead, he invested his warrior spirit in fights that were worth the efforts to get his plays and films to audiences. Tyler kept on fighting to live his dream, even when he was homeless and sleeping in his automobile. Because he never gave up, the winds of fate changed in his favor, and he was since sold millions of theater and movie tickets to fans of his beloved Medea persona and the characters in the movie and the many other films and theatrical productions. That's the kind of fight that's worth your energy, the fighting spirit in you to say, I will, is a tenacity you need to dig a deeper when friends and loved ones are looking at you and snarking because it seems like you've just been following the pipe dream for years. You've got another plan to make it big. You've started another diet. You started dating someone new. Meanwhile, people around you are saying, oh, here we go again. Ignore them and keep fighting because you are held to the place they cannot see. Stop expecting them to understand why you're willing to hold on and not let go. As they laugh or cluck their toes or their tongues or straightening yourself to dig your heels in deeper, tell them your dream. Sarcasm and doubt from other people can weaken your staying power. If you listen to enough of their vitriol, you will start to believe that you really are stupid and hanging on when there seems to be no reason. Any person who has achieved success arrived at a pivotal point when he or she had decided to keep going despite failures, despite negative future casts, despite haters who couldn't understand what it means to be focused on destiny. There's a critical point that every successful person reaches when they say, I'm going to stay right here and make this work or die trying. Storms, struggles, battles, and destiny. Storms and struggles can have a definite positive result on us because as discombobulating as they are, life changes can make us stronger to fulfill our destiny. But you can't live in the fight mode. Living that way is unhealthy and unproductive. There's a reason soldiers are given leave time and rest and relaxation. Fighting keeps you strong, but all of life is not about storms and battles. People who live in fight mode can die early from strokes or heart attacks because of the constant stress on the body. There are times when you need to take off your armor and let your spirit be at peace. Devote habit or develop habits that can release you from fight mode and give your mind and body a much needed break. Yoga, meditation, or a brisk walk are just a few ways you can take care of yourself and ensure that you will live fight another day. In a professional boxing match, the two opponents fight for 3 minute rounds. They then retreat to their respectable corners for 60 seconds of spent encouragement and strategizing. The fighter must take a quick break so he can back up and fight again. Corner, the fighter's team is tending to his wounds, nurturing him, telling him where he is vulnerable, and affirming his strong points. Can you imagine how truly brutal a professional boxing match would be if the two opponents fought for a full 36 minutes with no break in the competition? Prior to the mid-18th century, no rules for boxing, and many died in the ring. The first rules for boxing, known as Brogginson Rules, were established by champion Jack Brogginson to protect fighters. He realized that rules were needed so that boxers could live to fight another day. Personal rules for taking care of yourself. There will be more storms to endure on the way to destiny. There will be more battles to fight. After you have seen your way through the storm, take some time for yourself and your family. Take time to celebrate that the storm has passed without worrying about when the next one will come. That will come soon enough. Times of calm are times of appreciate the victory or soothe the wounds of defeat. Getting out of a fight mode gives you time to plan, to strategize, taking your steps to the next level. It's a time to take your spouse or your family for being your support system in the storm. It's time to be in touch with yourself and remind yourself that you are a human being and not a human doing. That concludes our reading out of the Book of Destiny, Chapter 5. I want to thank you for joining us this evening, and join us on Thursday, where we read Chapter 6, For Destiny's Sake, Do You. I want to thank you once again for joining us. God bless you. God be with you. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Be blessed. And just remember, when you fall, just remember, just get on back up. God bless you.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. Oh, yes. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now.
We fall down.
Over
but we get up,
we fall down,
but we get up,
yeah. back up again.
We fall down.
Oh, my, my, my. We get back up again. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of us. Oh,
we fall down.
But we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes. But we get back up again. Yes, we do that.
We
rise back up again.
For again,
oh, my brother, my sister.